This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boy, we'll have trouble talking with these two guys.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
No,
we were just talking with some of the Jimmy Fund kids, right. And they're fantastic.
Right. But we got two shy guys joining us here on the radio telethon. Of course, Dennis Leary and Lenny Clark of Rescue Me.
That's right.
Dennis, it's worked out all right, this show, huh?
Yeah, you know, it kind of worked out okay, I think. For whatever reason, we hit a nerve.
We did 38 episodes this year. It's unbelievable.
I'd like to point out something. That I didn't get it canceled.
You didn't? No. You've got every other show canceled.
This one, it's turned. He broke my curse.
You know what the worst one was? The worst one was the year you had the show on CBS called Lenny.
Right.
And you
right.
were in first place.
Yes.
And Seinfeld was in like 63rd.
Yeah.
The war breaks out.
Yep.
Seinfeld ends up number one, and you're the Kansas City Royals, mathematically eliminated.
Well, you know,
that was the killer.
It's in some books. George H.W. Bush, George Bush Jr.'s father, he hated Lenny so much, he said, "We have to go to war." So I can guarantee that show will not be a hit. But look, everything works out for a reason. God knows why Lenny was canceled. But eventually, we find ourselves doing Rescue Me, which I think is, maybe the reason your show did get canceled.
That's right.
Because you would have been a huge star. You wouldn't talk to me anymore.
No, I would have never.
You wouldn't be too big for the Jimmy Fund.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. We know what would have happened.
Hold on.
He'd be living in a castle someplace with Nicolas Cage. But thank God it got canceled. Now we have him here.
Wow.
He'd have his own country.
I don't care for Nicolas Cage. Mike Andrews, I'd move into a castle with in a minute.
He still looks great.
Can I
ask you a question?
Never ages.
How old is Mike Andrews?
91. 95? 96?
Him and Fred Lynn never age.
Let's be serious, though. He played with Yaz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he's 1967 Red Sox. Yeah. So
he was a rookie in 67 at 22,
okay.
And that was 40.
Yeah. Somebody do the math.
42 years, 63?
He's 63 years old?
Yes.
Wow. He looks younger than you do.
I know he does.
Actually,
I tell people I'm 78 so I can ride the bus for a dime.
I got to tell you.
People say, you're 78, you look great. I said, yes, I do. I'll be around at 100.
But how does it feel going through life knowing you were cast as Charles Durning's brother?
I feel lucky. Let me tell you.
By the way, that was my idea. But it works. Yeah. It works.
Charles Durning's one of the greatest actors of all time.
Yeah.
And, it was amazing.
You were telling us last year that he busted down someone that gave him a hard time in the set, and you said what a great guy that Charles Durning was.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a fan of the show, Dennis. And I remember the first time I saw him, he says, I can't wait, because we went to high school together. I can't wait to see Lenny. He's Charles Durning's brother. I love this.
I know.
Dark Day Afternoon, 1,000
well,
years
know,
ago.
For me, you're writing the show and you're casting the show. Everything I do, there's a part for Lenny. And I'm not just saying like I make it up. There's always a part that pops up and you go, that's perfect for Lenny, right?
Thank you, Dennis.
The idea of Lenny, I've known Lenny for 30 years now, right?
33.
That Charles Durning, who we all know is an Oscar-nominated,
yes.
Emmy-nominated, Tony-nominated, World War II hero. But let's forget that. Dog Day Afternoon, The Sting.
Yeah.
You know, we can. And the first day, they're both in their underwear on the set, and I'm looking at him going, by the way, the funniest part is at that point, he was 80 years old. He knew all of his lines. We didn't know any of our lines.
He knew everyone's lines.
Yeah.
He knew everyone's lines.
It's really, to watch those two, to pretend to have a pet monkey.
Yeah.
No. Lenny, I wrote a scene for you and Charles Durning, and you guys have a pet monkey.
Now, you started that show like at 375, right?
Yes,
you were, like,
I did.
Gigantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, when they put you in prison after you killed the kid.
How much money, how much weight could you lose if we needed to off-season? I said, 100 pounds. He goes, do it. So then he'd start calling, how's the weight going? I've lost 30. He'd call me 40, 50, 60, 70. And then he wrote the great line.
No, yeah.
How'd you lose all the weight? With the Murder One diet.
Right. Yeah. he actually tried a couple times to get out of it. He's like, I don't know if I can lose this weight. I'm like, look, you're in prison.
Right.
For a whole year.
Got him.
Lose the weight.
Yeah, I was teasing him one day about it. I said, you can't be like that fat kid in Lost. That's still 450 pounds.
I don't watch that show. But every time my kids talk about that guy, I go, how does he stay this fat?
Right, exactly.
Even Lenny on that island, who, by the way, would start eating trees, okay?
I would
not
people.
Be that big.
I would eat people.
I'd eat people. I'm telling you something right now, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. you know, I have to eat every 3 hours. I have a metabolism of a gnat. If I'm on a plane and it goes down, I'm eating the fat people first. But I'm eating. I'm telling you, I got to eat. It's not going to be like the movie Alive or like the book where I don't know if I can eat the people. I'm eating some. I'll make the announcement. 3 hours from now, I'm eating somebody. I'm starving.
Good news for us. I'm staying in coach from now on because I know he's in first class. He's going for the fat for people in first class.
Well, we were on tour. He bought out the entire first class section just so people wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
You are two guys. And by the way, we're going to get to this in a few minutes because they're throwing out the first ball tonight, which could be.
Oh, boy.
I was going to say.
We got a couple surprises up our sleeves with that.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. It's not going to be, first of all, neither one of us is wearing mom jeans like Obama did. Okay? I like the guy, but what the hell was with those jeans? As a Secret Service guy, I think part of your job should be you got the vest on. Okay. You got to lose the pants. Why? Because they're not bulletproof? No, because they're ironed and they're jeans. You can't wear them. I forgot what my point was.
The mom jeans.
Yeah, I think you made it. It was good.
Oh, okay. I think we should sell them on eBay and give the money to the Jimmy Fund.
Well, I was going to, I think it's a great idea, but you two guys that have done an awful lot in the community. I mean, you pick up the phone, you ask Lenny for anything with a charity.
Yeah, he's
and
great.
He doesn't even hesitate. It's yes, yes. He doesn't even know what you got him into. He knows he's into it, and he's done. And you've done unbelievable stuff. Of course, the tragedy and your own family out in Worcester with the firefighters and the work that you've done over the years for them. So you two guys that have really given back. So you know a little bit about what this is all about here.
Well, we were just talking to somebody out in front, you know, before we came into the studio here, and they said, when's the first time that you heard about the Jimmy Fund? And I was saying to Lenny, I remember as a kid, there were only two charities that you knew, I mean, that you couldn't get away from hearing about, Red Cross and the Jimmy Fund, if you grew up in Boston. Mm-hmm. And it was all, I think it was the same kind of event. It was the Jimmy Fund day that they would have. Mm-hmm. Lenny was talking about the Jimmy Fund
The sign. When you hit
spot,
the sign, you get $100.
Help make a kid's dream come
right,
true.
Right, and I was so excited about that, and I said, not many people hitting it. We ought to raise it to 1,000, Dennis, because making $1 million will cure this fund.
Yeah. Now, honestly, how much have you guys raised?
Total 17 million since we've been doing this. Today we're over 800,000.
Well, we got to go up with $1 million before we leave.
But Dennis, by tomorrow at midnight, we need to be at the 5 million mark because we need to keep the research going.
Yes.
We need to keep the care going. We need to keep these programs going. I mean, the difference of what we're hearing from these stories today as opposed to 8 years ago, and forget about the old ones. Mike Andrews is in here, by the way, 66 years old, born July 9th, 1943.
Can I say something? I don't want to get off track.
Yeah.
Okay? I like Mike Andrews, and I just met him. I don't know anything about him.
No.
I'd say steroids. That's what I'm saying. HGH. I think he's taking the same stuff Stallone is. You know, Stallone's 65. He looks like he's 40.
Exactly.
And look at that head of hair. What a good head of hair he's got.
He's taking HGH and Propecia. He's taking an HGH Propecia speedball every day.
But I remember doing these with Ken Coleman, with Mike Andrews years ago in a small little network around New England. And let me tell you something. The stories were so tragic. It was one story after another, and they were heartbreaking because you were losing them. And it's not that we're not now. I mean, we've already lost a couple from last year who are with us that are no longer with us.
Right.
But the numbers are of success are just increasing every single year.
Well, a couple of the kids we met today, they're not only doing better, but they're happy. They got smiles on their faces. Right. They were so excited to meet Dennis. Of course, they didn't know who I was. They screamed and ran away from me. But, you know, hey, I'm doing the right thing. We're here to help the kids. Right.
So what did you say?
They said Bill Parsons. Ourselves.
Yeah. You know, someone said that to me in New York when I was really fat. And
I remember that.
Get away from me, you little. You know, I can't say that. He said, Mommy, it's him.
Hey, hold on for 1 second. We got a hotline here.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, we got a hotline. We got somebody on the phone line. Right? And we had him earlier.
Oh.
But apparently, he's got a.
Yeah.
Still has the same cheap phone. I just went to him.
What is wrong with you?
Your chubby little digits did it again.
I got nothing to do with it.
Have you heard that one, Buck? What is wrong with you? I hear that all the time. Ever since I was a kid, from the time I was could talk, what is wrong with you?
I was the Ted Kennedy tribute was on the television before we came over, and they were talking about how Ted Kennedy and all of his brothers and sisters used to always call Jack Kennedy the president or Mr. President. And from the moment he became president, even the mother, everybody sitting around the house, they'd call him the president. And I was like, you know, in my house, the only time that word would have come in involved if my brother was the president was, oh, who do you think you are? Just because you're the president? You think you could? That's the way it was in my house.
Actually, we had Donnie Wahlberg on the line.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, he was on with us earlier today for like 12 seconds, and then his phone went zap. And
tell him to borrow his brother's phone.
Right, and we can. Right, I'll guarantee his brother's phone's out.
I got to tell you something, man. Donnie Wahlberg, not only is he a nice guy, because I've met him a couple times.
Great guy.
Great actor.
Great actor. Yeah.
He's a great actor. I mean, I know his brother is the bigger star, but and you know, what his brother's turned himself into is terrific, because his brother's a really good actor.
But his brother,
Donnie is a fantastic actor, man. He's a great character actor, which means he's going to work the rest of his life.
He plays. So, he's in Sixth Sense for like 2.5 minutes, and he like knocks it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he's good.
And he lost weight for that. He was like 30 pounds in that movie. I couldn't believe it.
Wasn't heavy to begin with.
No, but I mean, he lost all that. He was like a skinny little thing. Right. But he was nice enough to put me in that show we shot for TNT.
Oh, right.
And he was amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. He's a good actor, man.
Great guy, too.
Well, the other thing I love about him is that he's not a fraud Hollywood guy. He comes back here.
Oh, no. He
gives
to charity.
And he's a real sports fan. And he'll call the shows every once in a while. He'll just call us up. You know, Celtics playing that night. It's a big game or whatever. He'll call us up.
Hey, look, let's just get hardcore about it. I mean, you know, it's two kids that started out as one guy was in a boy band.
Boy band, right.
And the other guy was a white rapper, right?
Right.
Now, pretty much, you know, if you're in those two careers, you start at 14, you end when you're 18. And if you live, you're lucky, right? And look what those guys have turned themselves into.
I know.
You know?
And the boy band thing is still going. They're huge in Europe.
We never got to be in the boy band.
No, he started the white rapping thing,
nobody wanted to hear it.
So they were hoping that Donnie was going to be here live. They're waiting for him, and they got all the
Is that what the signs are for? Yeah. We thought you were here to see us.
Oh, they are.
Sure you are.
Wait till you see my new show. You'll want to meet me then.
If Marky Mark was here, you'd be breaking that glass down, right? I know.
She thinks you're Joey McIntyre. That's what she just said.
Joey McIntyre.
Joey still wears the hat, by the way.
There's no... no call. So we're throwing out the first pitch. Both of you together. Is this like...
Same time.
Synchronized tossing?
Yep.
Like an Olympic
event. Simultaneous pitching.
And watch this, because you never know what could happen.
Do me a favor. Get real players to catch. I hate it when you throw out the first and they have like the little ball girl there or the bat boy or something. Well, get like...
Yeah, I agree. We should get a couple.
I want Mike Andrews and Kyle Yastrzemski.
There you go.
Like we're ever going to get that.
That'd be awesome. Well, Mike's here.
I can't believe... I'm still astounded by Mike's...
We all are.
...the way he looks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same picture at birth. I got his picture at birth here. It looks exactly the same. Yeah, the only difference is he's wearing a shirt. That's the only difference.
Hell of a second baseman, man.
So now, if either one of you, because we've had people on the show before who that night are going to go out and throw the first pitch.
Right.
And we've asked this question, have you practiced? Because it looks a lot easier.
Let me tell you something.
Looks a lot easier than it is.
The first time that we did it, which was a few years ago
here. I remember that.
I get him up out of bed, and I go, we're going down to the park, down to the common, and I measure off 90 feet in the outfield, right? My son and a nephew of mine were with me, and we start throwing. And he's going, this seems awful far. I'm going, this is the distance. This is 60, you know, whatever feet.
Yeah.
He's going,
no, it's not.
I go, yes,
outfield.
It is. Keep throwing. And we're throwing and throwing. Then we get here, and we go out to the mound. They announce us, and we walk out there, and he goes, oh, you lied to me. I go, yeah, but doesn't it look easy now? That's the whole thing.
And you know what kind of friend he is? I turn to him. I says, wow, this is better than any dream I've ever had. I can't thank you enough. He goes, hey, what's the fun of doing it alone?
I know. It's no fun alone. You got to have somebody with you.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
You know, when I used to come here, and you know, speaking of Mike Andrews, who I hate now. Because he literally looks like, you know, Dorian Gray. Like we're all gonna die. He's gonna be here still looking good. But when I used to come to watch the 67 Red Sox, and we came a lot that year, you know, because as the season went on, they were becoming the impossible dream team. And my old man and I would come in, and we'd always kind of get like the late in the day seats. My father would say, this guy has seats, because the Red Sox were selling out by mid-season, you know. And so if my old man had been there the day that we did that first time we threw out the first pitch, I mean, his head would have exploded. The idea that we would be on the field, you know, never mind, like, talking to Mike Andrews. By the way, should I tell that Phil Esposito story?
Yeah.
One time when I was a kid, Phil Esposito, back in the Big Bad Bruins days, puts out the first official Phil Esposito street hockey equipment. He comes to Zaire's. And
remember
Worcester.
This with the red ball.
Right. You got to buy a stick and a ball. Right. Right. Yeah. He's coming to Zaire's in Worcester and Spags, right? You got to get in line for like 4 hours. And they tell you when you get up, you have 7 seconds with Phil Esposito to take a Polaroid picture and get your thing signed. So if you want to talk to him, right, the whole time, 4 hours in line, my dad's going, get ready to ask him what you're going to ask him. I'm like, I'm going to ask him this. He's like, that's a stupid thing. Don't ask him that. Ask him something else. And I kept on coming up with stuff. Finally, we get there. They say, Phil Esposito. We walk up. My father starts talking. All of a sudden, pictures taken. We're done. I never even said hi to Frost. We walk away. I go, Dad, I never got to talk to me because he was too busy talking to me because I had a good question to ask.
Well, you know what? I was one night. John Henry asked me to come sit with him, and I'm sitting with him in his, you know, the new section he's got there. And my mother sees me sit next to John Henry. She calls my sister on the phone. Bernice, turn on the Red Sox game. Your brother Leonard is about to be arrested.
And what did you say? No, I'm over that. That was years ago.
God.
Years
ago. When I was a kid, my father couldn't afford to send me to the Red Sox game. He said, come over and get a job there. So I would get a job selling Coke, and I'd sit down watching the game, and I'd get fired. Yeah. Next day, it'd be popcorn. Then I started sneaking in. In 1967, Buck, I snuck into 44 games. At the end of the season, there was a picture of me everywhere. Do not let this kid in. But I was wild.
I think I saw that picture.
Someone had touched me. Daddy, Daddy, the man's touching me. The guy would freak out. I'd run in.
By the way, that's the reason Mike Andrews in 67 only got paid $10,000 because half the people snuck in. They weren't paying the full admission.
I was a poor kid.
Yucky wasn't going to pay him.
I was a poor kid, Mike.
I wasn't going to pay him. How long you want to continue doing Rescue Me, or are you one of these guys that gets antsy and says, okay, this was fun, but...
Yes.
I got other juices, and I want to do something
else. No, it's not
else.
That. It's that my favorite show of, well, my two favorite shows of all time, All in the Family. I love that show.
Yeah.
And The Sopranos, right? Now, you throw The Honeymooners into the mix. The Honeymooners, as we all know, it's a limited number of episodes because they only did it a brief time, right?
Didn't they do some of those actually live and never recorded?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the actual filmed Honeymooners, right?
Dumont X Network.
So The Sopranos, which was seven seasons, and believe me, I loved that show so much. Like, I wasn't ready for it to end. You know, if they put a movie out, I'd still go. I mean, I love that show. And then you take All in the Family, because that turned into the Archie Bunker show.
Play,
and it overstayed its welcome by about 3 or 4 years, right?
Martin Balsam.
So I don't want to do that.
Other little girl in there, and it changed the whole...
So we start filming next week, and we're going to film two seasons at once, and that's the end of it. Now, it'll mean that next year you guys have another season to watch, and then a year from that, another season to watch. But as of this time next year, we'll be finished.
So what? Will
final
Lenny,
2 years.
What will Lenny do then?
Don't you think I'm worried about that?
Royalties, right? Over 100 episodes. You're good.
Lenny, at that point, do you want to mention your other show?
Oh, yeah. I have a show, another show on Fox right now called Brothers.
Right.
It's an all-black show.
I didn't know you were black.
Well, I'm not.
He's
actually
honorary black.
I'm the only white guy in an all-black show, and I'm kind of like a racist cop from Cambridge. Hey, how's that go?
Tell him who's in the.
Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed.
Yep.
Michael Strahan and Daryl Chill Mitchell and CCH Pounder from The Shield.
Yeah. I've seen him promoting it. They're promoting
it. Amazing cast, and I've been having a lot of fun doing it. But I'll either get
CCH
shot.
CCH Pounder is awesome.
Yeah, she is. I'll either get shot or I'll get an award for it.
So what's the whole?
But wait a minute. Explain your character. Because you're married to a...
Yeah, I don't particularly care for black men, but I love black women.
And he's married to one.
And I'm married to those Kyle Weathers' wife's sister. So it's insane. You know,
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed. Wow.
It's so terrible that we say that, but that's really, I mean... To me, if I met him right now, I'd go, hey, Mr. Creed, how are you? Well, it's the wrong thing to say. Well, you know, I love him.
He was drafted by the Oakland Raiders.
And he said to me, he says, Lenny, he said, man, I can't believe how funny you are. I said, me? I can't believe I'm working with Apollo Creed. I go, hey, how long did it take you to shoot, Rocky? He said, 27 days, less than $1 million. He said, do you realize I didn't make it to Philadelphia until Rocky 3? I mean, it's so much. And Strahan's great. Strahan's amazing. I can't believe. You know, the only thing bad about it, I wear all my Patriots scared when I go to work.
Just to piss him off.
Yeah, he gets really upset. Yeah.
He's a decent actor? He's a good actor?
Very funny, very charismatic. Yeah, really? He's going to make some money.
See, because the TV thing last year didn't seem to work for him.
What was the TV thing last year?
Well, he was doing some
NFL stuff.
NFL stuff.
He was playing himself, though.
But you guys know that's a different... Everybody thinks a different animal. Everybody thinks they can do what you guys do. Yeah. Like we did, I did Mike and Mike in the Morning with Lenny last week.
I heard that.
I'll tell you, I'm a huge sports fan. You know, you get in there and you realize it's like watching a guy do play-by-play. When you get in, you realize, oh, wait a minute, I don't know how to do this. And this is way more difficult than it looks.
Right.
And it's a skill. And you have to have the ability to keep, you know, the information in your head and to place it at the right time.
We still haven't mastered it. We're working on it, though. We're trying to figure that out.
We have interns with headphones.
That's what we did.
That's the key, right?
Yeah. But we had Bill.
There's
Bill
little geeks in the other room that just tell you.
Yeah, that's important.
Stuff in your ear, you know?
Bingo, you couldn't believe it, how excited they were when Bill called us.
Now, I heard
Bill
it.
Charles
I heard
like, yeah.
I was, but, he'll never call again, but I mean, it was great.
I did hear, and I didn't hear the interview, but I did hear about it. That they were a little shocked at some of the questions that you guys might have been throwing at Bill.
I just want to say, as a fan, okay, as a football fan, as a let's say it as a fellow sports anchor. Is that what we call ourselves?
That's what we call ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was the anchor of the show that day.
Right.
Golic was off, right?
Yeah.
He was off, right? So in my journalistic, I wish I had a big word to throw in here, journalistic...
Crap,
right? I thought the most interesting... This is a question I would ask if I was, you know, behind the scenes. She's pregnant, Tom Brady's wife, right? And her due date's December. Well, let's be honest, her shutoff date is probably like early October, late September. So we know what kind of a mindset Tom's going to be in. Is that going to help or hurt the team? I think that's an honest question.
It's a fair question.
He didn't want to answer.
Bill goes, she seems very nice when I've been out with them.
It is what it is.
You know, any of us that's married, that has had kids, knows that there's when your wife is pregnant, that it's a whole different mindset. And it does affect your work. It affects everything about
you. Yeah, but you had said, well, don't you think he's going to be like a pent-up stallion kicking the door down and throw 40 touchdowns.
I did say
and
that.
Bill goes, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, Buck, those are the type of questions we should be asking Belichick on Monday, don't you think?
Oh, is he coming on Monday?
He's on every Monday with us.
They kiss his ass.
And by the way, Bill Belichick is one of the smartest guys and maybe one of the smartest coaches of all time.
Glenn and Pete Tomlin every Monday.
Right? Do you believe for a minute that he hasn't already thought secretly, okay, Tom is really going to be out of his mind come October 1st. I got to control that. That's either a good thing or a bad. Of course he's thought it. He just doesn't want to say it on the air.
He doesn't want to say it publicly.
No, but I do.
Then he's
that's you know why? Because I don't know Tom Brady. I met him once at a charity thing. Seems like a nice guy, but, you know.
Terrific guy.
Guess who's friends with Tom and Giselle and hangs out with Giselle? Not me. Lenny Clark. Mr. Like, he's like Tom's, beard.
Yes.
You know?
Isn't it amazing how Lenny is just, he loves everybody and everybody loves him.
Yep.
I mean, you know, he talks about sitting and popping up on TV with John Henry. I can't tell you how many times I've looked in the crowd or looked somewhere, and there's
Lenny.
There's Lenny.
Four seats at WIC.
I'm guaranteeing you. I'm telling you. And especially now because he's done all this charity work to make up for all the evil things he did in the old days.
And there were a lot of them, too.
And there were a lot of them.
Hey, Buck, we're letting it go.
And by the way, can I tell you, I was there, and I did some bad things, but he made us do them, okay? I just want to point. But Jesus will come back eventually, and when he comes back, I'm guaranteeing you, like, his second question is going to be, hey, where's Lenny at? Well, is Lenny around?
I need to talk to him. I want to give you these. XL or two?
XL.
XL work?
Yeah.
What do we got? Are looking good, brother.
I'm coming down, baby.
Large or XL? What do you think? Large?
I'd probably have to go medium or small.
Well, try large.
That's awesome.
I didn't even know you guys had these.
This is awesome. Thank you
that's
so much.
Cool.
Hey, can we wear these tonight when we throw out the first pitches?
Absolutely.
Oh, that is
absolutely
great.
There's a couple of the Jimmy Fund caps as well, all representing the Jimmy Fund. Dennis, I really appreciate you finding some time in your schedule. We see you. I see you every once in a while, but it's great that you came in here and help out this cause because this is a phenomenal cause.
This is a cause that obviously, you know, it's the first time we've been able to be here live. I think we've called in before, but it's an honor to be included.
And you know, I know you've raised $17 million, and I know right now with the economy the way it is, it's tough. You don't have to give a bunch. Just give something. If everyone gives something, we'll be right where we should be.
80% of the money.
By the way,
$100
or less. That's so true, and I've said it before in other charity things that Lenny and I are involved with, and it's really true. $5.
Yeah.
You know, if you take $5 and you multiply that, it makes a huge difference. Everything adds up. You know what I mean? Whatever you can give, $500. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all worth the same thing once it goes into the pot.
All right.
You know?
Again, Dennis, thank you very much. And you, always, you're the best.
Hey,
I love you.
I love you too, Glenn.
Thank you for stopping by again. You're
Big
Pete,
thank you. Are you kidding me? Right. Buck, this is exciting. And all those people out there, God love you.
Hey, you know what? We love you people. We're sorry that Marky Mark's not here.
Dennis Leary and Lenny Clark.
Thanks, we continue on with the WEI NESA
Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
These are unbelievable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.